Latest figures show Australia's unemployment rate at 4.1%, but it's not a burden that falls evenly across society. Marginalised groups often have more trouble getting jobs and building careers. But one social enterprise in the trans and gender diverse community is showing the potential for communities to build their own networks of social and economic support. The Wise Aspen Beilharz reports on this new initiative.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics estimates that about 1% of Australian adults are transgender or gender diverse. Trans people are a lot more visible than they used to be. But just because people see you or talk about you doesn't mean they understand what your life is like.
Until Wave 23, so conducted in 2023, we weren't really asking the questions you need to be able to identify transgender people.
Mark Wooden is Emeritus Professor at the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research. He was the inaugural director of the HILDA survey, Health, Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia, from 2001 to 2023. And last year, in the Journal of Economic Review, he co-authored some of the first academic research into the economic outcomes of trans Australians.
We interview people, but we also leave behind a self-completion questionnaire. And in that particular instrument, we ask all our respondents about their sex they were assigned at birth and the gender they now identify with, and allowing for, you know, non-binary options as well. And then we looked at how that particular group fared compared with sort of the cis men and the cis women on about a dozen different outcomes relating to work, income and health. And on nearly all those indicators, the transgender and gender diverse group do fare worse. And the three worst here are income, whether they experienced violence, reported violence in the previous 12 months, being a victim of violence, or mental health. On all those three indicators, this group is far worse off than men and far worse off than the cis women as well.
Surveys are great for measuring and quantifying, but they don't necessarily show the stories underneath the data. Sometimes people's lives are affected by the big things, like violence, but sometimes it's more subtle, something that you wouldn't even think about until you experience it.
I went to a local place when I first started my transition. I probably shouldn't say the name of the local place, but I hated so much how they treated me and like their whole entire way of just doing everything.
This is Liv, and what she's talking about is permanent hair removal. A lot of trans people, especially trans women and feminine people, pursue hair removal with technologies like laser and electrolysis because it can make a huge difference in helping them feel more comfortable in their bodies. But to do that, they have to go into a system that isn't built for them and isn't set up for their needs.
Transition is really awkward at the best of times, and I remember when I started, I was far too embarrassed to tell even the people that were doing my treatment why I was doing it for, which is a very awkward thing to have to try and go in and say, oh yes, I just want to have my beard removed for perfectly normal reasons. I didn't know any trans people at the time, I didn't know anybody in that space at the time, so it's just like a, you know, I felt ashamed even for existing.
Remember, mental health is one of the biggest differences that the HILDA survey found for trans people. Professor Mark Wooden.
Now that has a problem because one, it makes you a less attractive job candidate. And when you try to apply for jobs, you know, if these issues are apparent to the employer, you may be hired for a period and it doesn't work out well and excess anxiety, next thing you know, you're fired. And the other thing is it makes you more fearful of entering the labour market. Okay, so you don't seek jobs. This is what economists would call hidden unemployment.
Liv had an idea to create something that would improve on both sides of that equation. A hair removal clinic by and for the trans community, under the name Liv More.
It had to all be run by trans. That was the most important part because I wanted people to have like shared experience to know all the different things. I wanted to create a system where the local girls in the community can sort of like treat the local girls in the community.
Liv also knew how many barriers can get in the way of accessing care.
So prior to my transitions and things, I experienced a lot of housing insecurity, food insecurity. I was homeless for an extended period of time. And that gave me a really good taste of like how much everything really, really sucks when you're broke.
So she didn't want to run her business the same way as the ones that she'd experienced from the other side.
I hate how greedy they are. I hate how they take advantage of people and sell them things that you don't need. I hate how they have a monopoly on everything. You know, if you don't like how they treat you, where else can you go? You go to another place doing the exact same thing. It's really terrible. You know, they'll sell you on a 10 or a 20 pack and you get no results for the first like 6 or 7 sessions. It's not by accident, it's by design. I refuse myself to make a profit off of anybody who comes in with healthcare card bookings. There are costs to running the business. There's the cost for the person who does the zapping because they are actually doing the work. But I don't want to make money off of people who are saving for months to go and get treatment.
Live More has been met with huge demand from the community. Starting from Liv's clinic in Perth, it's now expanded to 6 locations across the country, giving opportunities to people like Sydney technicians, Jazz and Lily.
So my past work experience was completely irrelevant to any of this. I had worked just like a very generic, like minimum wage retail job for like my whole working career. So this was very much a change. I never would have expected it if you told me this is where I would end up. But I've taken to it really well.
I mean, I don't think anyone really enjoys working, right? But if you're going to do work, at least if it's somewhere where you feel like it kind of has like an impact. So at least now it's like, oh, at least I feel like I'm doing something for other people, like helping people in some way while also getting money to like sustain myself.
It's so much nicer to just be in a place that I know is going to be accepting of who I am. And we get the same from a lot of the clients who come through here.
Liv now plans to see what other services can be brought under the same umbrella to make them accessible and affordable for the gender diverse community. Queer communities have often had to create their own systems of social and economic support. And now, they've even transformed something shameful into something empowering.
The Wire's Aspen Bilharts, ending this report.